Judge, you've been promoting a guest that I thought you were getting carried away with, but you have undersold the guest you're about to bring to the table here at Triple M Footy. I want you to introduce this man because this is sporting royalty in this country.
It is. It's very special for you blokes. You are joined tonight by a dual Brownlow medalist, a premiership winning player, a Norm Smith medalist, and those sort of people are incredibly hard to find. So to get someone of that calibre in here tonight, the great Greg Williams, we're very, very lucky.
And can I say, he looks intimidated around you, Diesel.
That's respect. That's a look of respect.
He should be, No, it's great to be. I'm so glad to be at an FM station because I'm very AM. And this is the first time I've been invited on FM station. So I'm rapt to be on Double M.
It's going to be big for your brand, Diesel, tonight.
No, it might be.
Do you listen to the Friday Huddle traditionally, Greg?
No, I haven't.
Right.
Sorry. Now, in my car, there's no FM. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but there's no FM.
So. I reckon your confidence levels, Greg, which that were renowned during your course of your career, would fit in pretty well with the FM band.
I like FM because, I like to be a bit funny and... Yeah, you know,
talk about
jokes.
Yourself like this.
Yeah, no,
does.
I can. I can talk about myself, no problem. But on AM, you got to be a bit boring.
True. Diesel, they've already got a Brownlow medalist down there helping out the boys. He's on the board. It came as a surprise to us that they needed then to get you in there to help some of the boys when they already had a player. We're just wondering whether he can do the job or not.
Yeah, well, he's a director of football, which it's a big job and a lot of pressure on Juddy. But he handles it well. Like he's cool, calm and collective, and he's just, what's the word?
Brilliant.
No, he's brilliant. I can't think of what he is. Sorry.
I just wanted to ask you a couple of serious questions. You're doing some work with Paddy Cripps, and you're doing some work with the extended group, but Paddy Cripps and Paddy Dow you've been working with for a few weeks. You've got a very interesting concept about clunking the ball. Do you want to explain to the Triple M listeners what clunking the ball means? Because it was very important to me when you taught it to me.
Okay. Look, I'm big on technique and skills and development, Juddy, as you know. And clunking means when you catch the ball properly. And having a great technique to be able to do that at speed and low, middle and high dar. So I know you were good at all that stuff, but I'm very focused on that sort of thing. And the technique and the stuff I'm doing with Cripps and Dow, you know, I've got a new business, Diesel Skills, which is going at the moment, just started and... it's going well, and I do a fair bit of work with. I've got a pretty good stable at the moment, and some serious players. And
do you take on young kids as well, Diesel? What age can you?
Yeah, we can do under 18. I've got a couple of under 18 guys who will get drafted. A few VFL guys who haven't got drafted but want to be, and then we've got the Tom Mitchells and Lachie Neal, and then there's six or eight others, but I can't say who they are at the moment because it's no one knows I'm doing it.
There is a level of depth that Diesel does take skills to that most people never go to. It's a bit like meditation. Everyone sits around and we all breathe, but people that meditate take that a little bit further, which you're into, Duke. Diesel's work with skills and the way to catch the ball, and when you catch the ball, you're already thinking about how you want to place it in your hands so you can handball it straight away.
Yep.
You do sort of focus on a level of depth that most players don't really have that level of detail to. Is that fair?
No, I don't think it is fair. Yeah, I think... The grip, the way you grip the ball and the way you practice. And the reason you catch it this way is to handball it better and kick it better. And, yeah, it's a whole special technique, which, I love showing young guys or any players,
We are blessed to have Greg Williams, two-time Brownlow medalist and a superstar of a couple of clubs in the competition with us. Hey, Greg, something you mentioned with Chris earlier on, the boys have got a lot of questions for you, but you said you're doing one-on-one coaching.
Yep.
And you mentioned a couple of names in there, including the reigning Brownlow medalist, Tommy Mitchell, which credits the way you're going about it, if nothing else. What are you teaching these guys at that in-depth level that they're not getting from their footy club?
Oh, well, Tom was... Like, even I knew Barry, of course, the old man. I played with Barry. He was a star of Rover. And I was lucky enough to work with Tom a few times over the last few years, like a fair bit. And technique practice, kicking practice, ball handling. And then I think the game plan and the support that I give him is important, The way he goes about it. The reason you practice like this, the reason you train like this, and the reason and what we plan to do on a game day, like how he goes about building his game, just different areas, ball ups, center bounces, every facet of the game. We just yeah, we just try and break it down. And everywhere he goes, he's thinking about what he's doing and really concentrating on how he's going to get the ball. Yeah.
Wow.
And Juddy, did you seek Diesel out while you were still playing for some one-on-one attention?
Yeah, Diesel worked with me in my Brownlow year at Carlton too, funnily enough. So we did, we had 18 months where we worked a fair bit together.
Yes,
You were down the club a bit.
Yeah, skills coach, yeah.
So yeah, and got a lot out of it.
And and Diesel, going back to, we've introduced you as a two-time Brownlow medal, but really it should be three, shouldn't it?
Oh, people say that. Yeah, they do. And a lot. You'd be surprised. But I was unlucky not to get a vote that game.
There's a story subsequently. How many did you have on that famous day where you didn't get a vote?
Oh, look, 42, wasn't it?
44. Yeah.
I think it was 44 and a goal, and I played pretty well, yeah.
And couldn't crack it for a vote that would have given you three Brownlows?
No, it's funny because I've moved on.
You
have? Yeah, I have, but I think it's disappointing because Milhanna had 18 possessions and got three. Justin Madden had 9 possessions and got 2, and Soss had about 12, I think, and got 1. So, like, I was a bit flat.
But you were that angry you won it the next year.
Actually, that pretty much sums me up. I dusted myself off and bounced back.
And then just wanted Norm Smith after that year.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough. Yeah, look, we can go through every year and there'd be a trophy.
Is there a story? Sorry, I don't want to harp on this too much. But umpire subsequently came out and said, do you know what, you used to give it to me so much, I wasn't going to give you a vote that day. Yeah.
It was serious. I had a real run-in with this guy, Russo, for 5 years before. Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. But not so much that day, but... He was vindictive that day. Yeah, yeah, he was.
Diesel, there were some great clubs. The Hawks in the 80s had Geelong early in 2000s, along with Brisbane, who are known as probably the greatest eras in those football clubs. How good was the 95 side of Carlton? Because you only lost the 2 games.
Yeah, we did. We won 16 in a row. Look, I got there in 92, and the Blues weren't going too well, and for some reason improved a fair bit. when I got there, we started to build up, and 93 we got in the flag, and Bombers beat us, the baby Bombers, unfortunately, and then 94, we got knocked out. We finished
straight
on top,
sets,
got knocked out straight sets. And
Geelong
then,
game out at Waverley when they had undermanned team. Yeah,
best ever couch missed.
Yeah.
That's right, and then we, 95, I think. Seriously, the pre-season 95, I think Essendon beat us by about 100 points in a pre-season game. And we're thinking, we're finished type thing. But for somehow it just clicked together. And because we had a lot of stars, older stars like myself and Kurt Hand, Bradley, there's Soss and Dean. And we had a bloody good side dust, we did.
These are the first ever grand final I went to was 1993. And the Baby Bombers, as you said, you got rolled. And the Bulldogs flew me over. And I sat next to Tony McGuinness, who was a Bulldog player, went back to the Adelaide Crows. Great Tony McGuinness.
Yep.
And he said, watch Diesel Williams. And he said, you were being tagged by Sean Denham. And he said, if I was Sean Denham, I wouldn't hold on to Diesel. And I said, what do you mean? He said, just watch. If Sean Denham holds his jumper again. And I was looking, and the next thing I know, Sean Denham was lying on the ground. And had a little. How did you used to deal with taggers back in the day?
Oh, taggers are a bad word, aren't they? The F word, they are. And
Give him a warning? Did you just say?
Yeah, no, I think they realised that they shouldn't do it. But anyway, Sean that day, I played on a few times, and we had a pretty good duels, really, and he was... determined little bugger as well. And actually, grand final day, he got 5 weeks for punching me in the first quarter. And then the third quarter, I punched him back, and he went off with a broken nose, Juddy. So,
did you punch him with that arm guard you wore for 3 years after you broke your arm that was full of fiberglass, or did you just punch him with your knuckles?
No, I middled it well, Anyway, funny, I think this is pretty funny, but he got 5 weeks, and then I saw Neil Busy after it, and he said, you were lucky to me. He said this, and I said, why is that? I didn't do anything.
Neil Busy was the head of the tribunal at that stage. Chairman of the tribunal.
And he said there was 15 cameras there that day, and none of them got it. So I was pretty impressed. Not so much the punch, but to actually
get away with one.
Avoid the camera. Yeah.
Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Damian Barrett, Nathan Brown, Chris Judd, and the superstar Greg Williams is in the house with us. As we lead up. Something you said before, after you didn't win that Brownlow and you won the next year, you said, I got up and dusted myself off, which I had to do throughout a lot of my career, you said. How did you continue and how did you get to that level, Greg? Because it's not like you came into the game and were immediately recognised as a superstar. You had to work and work and work for everything you got.
No, you're right. I was not like Chris Judd, like first pick, superstar, athlete, perfect player, really. Skillful, fast as anything. I was the complete opposite. I was slow. But I had a bad habit of getting the ball all the time. And And my first game, it took me a while. I got the arse from Carlton twice, and then I went to Geelong, wrote to Tom Hafey, and he let me do pre-season.
You wrote him a letter?
I wrote to him, yeah.
What did you say in the letter?
I said, please, Tom, let me do pre-season at Geelong. Like, anyway, I did that, and he said, come down, and I was lucky enough. He put me straight in the first game. I did a good pre-season. I was fit. I'd done three pre-seasons, got myself running as fast as I could, Juddie. Like, and I struggled my first game out. Yeah, I was half time. I had 20 possessions at half time, and I had 18 in the second half. So I had 38 my first game. So it was a tough start, Juddie. Yeah.
You dusted yourself off. Yeah, as was your way.
Yeah, I was. You could say I was ready to play. Yeah. You know, I was ready.
So where did you get that belief from when no one else believed in you, Williams?
Look, I think I got it from my old man and my mum, really. But right. No, I was very determined. But it was from Golden Square, of course, where Brownie comes from. It's a great, great country club, of course. And, but determination and toughness. And even though that's what I talk about the players today, even the ones I'm coaching. And it's a bloody hard game. And it's hard. I've said to feel for them as well. I talk to them because it's hard being a star. I'm sorry, but it is. And Juddie knows. Das knows he had some serious games in his career.
Brownie? Does Brownie know?
I've seen Brownie play some serious games. I reckon I could help him a bit more during his career because he was a little bit lost his concentration during games.
He loses his concentration on radio. Yeah, that hasn't changed.
Consistency. Pretty well. Consistency, but I've seen Brownie kick seven at full forward. Like, he's not a big man, and he was dangerous. And I really got some good memories of Brownie. Yeah. I really have.
Keep going. talking about, you said you came in and you weren't as fast as Juddie. Did the fact that you were slightly slow around the ground, did that help you with the vision you created? Or you had to have other assets to your game? I remember a game, North Melbourne, in a final where you got the ball at about 45 out and you're on your left foot. Nobody in the whole stadium could see Adrian Gleeson at the top of the square, but you were able to get him on the left foot from 45 metres away. Did you develop that because you needed better assets in your game?
Look, I think, I practiced handball when I played because I couldn't run out of the pack like Juddie could or anything like that. But I really did practice handball, and I handballed a lot. And I did. You can practice your vision. And I talked to, you talk about coaching today. I talk about senior, these star players, about, opening their eyes, opening their vision. This is the way we go about it at stoppages, and you've got to look what's going on and that sort of stuff. But I always did it from a kid. It just grew and grew. And it's pretty amazing because this might be a bit of a wank, but I actually dream about being able to run like Juddie.
Even now, do you?
Like, I imagine this is difficult, Brownie, because Juddie's a superstar and we've got very similar records and things we've won. It's pretty amazing, really.
It is amazing.
When you go through it, it's pretty close, right? And I think if Juddie could run like me, would he be as good a player as I was?
And what do you think?
And if I could run like Juddie, how the hell does do you reckon I would have been?
How many Brownlows?
How much better than Juddie would have I been if I could have ran like that? And if he could have ran like me, how good do you reckon he would have been?
How many Brownlows do you think you would have ended up with if you could run like Juddie?
Look, I think I would have won every year. I'm sorry, but I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, that's good.
That is...
The other thing people won't realise is you were an early businessman when you were playing football. And my favourite story...
Feels like you've based a lot of your life on that, Diesel. I'll be honest with
you. The mobile phone was just introduced, sort of the end of Diesel's career. And one day, Dave and Parkins up there on the pre-game meeting on the Friday before a Saturday afternoon game. Diesel's got a few business things he's working on at that time of his life. He's sitting in the back row. And Diesel's mobile phone rings. Everyone turns around expecting whoever's phone it is to turn it off, and Diesel just answers it and walks outside to take the call. Bit of a sign of where Diesel was at that stage of his career.
How did Parko cope with that, Diesel? Was he?
Look, Parko knew who was in charge of that. He knew exactly who was in charge. Does
you've had a range of interests post life? I read about you're going to develop a golf course at one stage. You're in the printing game and
restaurants.
Yeah,
pharmaceuticals.
Had a Mexican restaurant, my God, in Sydney when I went up to the Swans. That was what not to do. But,
you were running the restaurant down in Bowen Heads where you at times served people. You came out and took the orders.
We had managers there, and me and Mary, my wife, would go down and help on busy weekends, which it grew and grew. We were down there all the time, but it's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. What about those Swans days, Greg? How memorable are they now when you reflect on what you've done? Obviously, the Brownlow years weren't part of the Swans in your career, but they were heady days, weren't
one
they?
One of them was.
Big pun?
It was two.
Sorry, yeah. No, I'm not trying to
they were heady days, haven't they?
No, I'm not trying. Look, I...
With Kappa and...
I'll give you a quick lesson. 84, I won the best first year flat.
Yep.
85, I was... Actually, I did my knee halfway through the first year and missed the rest of the year. Then the next year, I won the best of first at Geelong. And then I went to Sydney. I struggled in my first year in Sydney in 86. I won the Brownlow in 86. And then we won. Then
but you made finals.
We did, both.
Yeah, both years.
86, 87. Yeah, we were on top and we got knocked out pretty much straight away for both those finals, unfortunately. But Edelston, Kappa, Jared Healy, Bolton, Tui. You know, we had some great fun up there. The place was full. The SCG.
Was Kappa good to play with?
Kappa was, he was. Yeah. No, he really was. He was a great full forward. Like, you'd say great, but he was a great mark. Like, seriously, if he was next to you, he could jump on your shoulder like that. It was amazing.
Who was the best player you played with? I mean, you had Healy at Sydney, you had Kernahan, Silvani, so many great players. Who was the best you played with?
Actually, those three are in the top five I've played with, and then...
Sticks would be there, wouldn't he?
Oh, he is. That's what I mean. Yeah. Sticks is there, right? And Bradley, Silvani. But the number one man's Big Gary Ablett. Yep.
Oh,
Gary Senior. I played with him in my first game. He was on the wing. I was in the centre. You know, the day I struggled, Browning?
Yeah.
First game.
38.
Yeah, Gary was there, and he kicked four on the wing, and, he had more talent. I know young... Junior, he's a superstar, and his record's like unbelievable. It's pretty amazing. It's better than yours and mine, Juddy.
It is.
We're speaking of Greg Williams on the
Gary Senior's the best.
No worries. Can I ask you about it? This has been a name that won't mean a lot, but growing up in South Australia, I used to love the state games, and you would go and you'd play on a guy called Gary McIntosh, who was one of the hardest,
toughest
people you've ever met in your life, Gary McIntosh. Yep. South Australian, played 330 games, won two McGarry medals. And he and Diesel would just go and punch the suitcase out of each other in State of Origin games.
He played on me a few times, And one game in South Australia, actually, he was first quarter. Ted Whitten said, "Oh, get rid of this guy, Weir," because he was tagging me. Anyway, second quarter, I punched him in the mouth, Das, and I knocked his front tooth out. Right? I cut me knuckle, something shocking. Anyway, I knocked his tooth out, and he came at me like a raging bull, like no one else. Like, you think I hit him well, and he just... I seriously took two Vicks to get him off me. Like, nearly killed me. Just a quick one on McIntosh. We have a golf trip, Carlton golf trip every year, and I reckon it was about 10 years ago, but probably 10 years after I knocked his tooth out. We're in Gold Coast, and this guy with a big beard came up, and he put his tooth on me on the bar. I was drinking with Sticks and Bradley and that. Anyway, he took his tooth out because he's got a fake tooth. You know, what do you call that? A fake tooth. And he put it on the bar and he said, "Oh, you better buy me a drink, Diesel." You know, so
it was great.
Bought him a drink. And he was good about it. Like, I thought he was going to... I was a bit tense in the jaw myself. I was just
who gave you the nickname, Diesel? Do you know who gave it to you?
Yeah, I do. Mick Turner was the captain of Geelong, and he was a famous rogue... gridiron player, his name was John Riggins, and there was a bit of a promotional tape, like a incentive tape. He played, his name was Diesel, so I got the nickname there.
There you go. Yeah. Greg, in all your time of watching and listening to football, who's your favourite football commentator?
Look, I love Lou Richards. Sorry, Dennis, but...
and I love Dennis as well. That was the gig, was to say Dennis.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love Dennis
just
as well.
Just a word to the wise.
No, Dennis Scametti is... that quick on if something happens in the game and he makes up a word for it, or
he missed a chance, Steve.
Unbelievable.
He's on the line now. Good evening. Always a pleasure to welcome you along, Dennis Scametti. Hello, Dan.
Hello, guys. How are you? Without reservation, my favourite footballer was Greg Williams. take that, Greg.
How's life, Dan? How's life treating you?
It's cold over here tonight, though. It's going to be a very cold night for this game of footy, and I'm not sure we're looking forward to it, are we? Melbourne fans?
Not after what happened last year.
Not a happy hunting ground, was it, Dan? And so great to hear your dulcet tones still on the M's. Are you enjoying being in the Triple M commentary box, Dan? It's great to have your son alongside you as well. You must be enjoying that.
That sounds a bit echoey in there. Where are you broadcasting from?
From the Judd Cave tonight, Dan. I think this would be a happy hunting ground for you Dan, you need to bring a mask normally.
He always said he was going to get a cave, a man cave. But I've heard on the grapevine that's going soon.
No, we're actually at Judd Corp, the corporate headquarters of the...
You're right.
The cave has gone and we've moved on to bigger and better things. But
you're growing.
You wouldn't look out of place either here, the racing manager. What about my great mate Andrew Embley? He's doing some work with you. How do you think he's coming along, and have you had to have any fireside chats with him?
No, he's outstanding. In fact, looking at your collection there, I've got the names in front of me. He's better than a lot of you, I think. He's ready for the big time.
Oh, Dennis, it's Greg Williams here, your favourite player.
Yes, Greg. Number two you were.
Dennis, do you actually...
Total recall.
I want the truthful answer. Do you actually put your voice on, or is that your voice? Now, do you put it on? No, seriously, you add to it.
You ask the hard questions, Greg. You're just as hard off the ground as you were on. Of course I put it on.
That is something that I've never heard before.
Dan is speechless.
Well, is that your best stuff?
Dan, I got one for you. Obviously, yes, we love listening to you on Triple M every Sunday. We normally hear it after the Sunday game in Melbourne. We always hear the second half over here, which is fantastic. You obviously wanted to spend some more time with family and with your friends and time travelling. What have you been doing away from footy? Have you been embracing more time that you've had?
Well, the true answer is forgetting a lot of things. I'm getting to the stage where I don't remember a lot. So what was it, 2016, that premiership with Tom Boyd? That's been in the papers today. That jogged my memory.
Right.
Poor
and
old Tom.
Then something that you know a fair bit about is pro wrestling. And Triple M's very own Seb Costello started to do some wrestling. How do you think he's going to go?
Seb is wrestling, is he?
He's wrestling.
He's making his debut tomorrow night, Dan.
Well, that's a bit early, really. I was trying to get the Beast onto him, a match up there. I think the Beast could win one. Bring him the money home.
The Beast has finally got a sponsor. I think I can officially announce that the Chew Man and the Beast, after a pretty lean spell, Dars, have got sponsors on Triple M Footy now, which will relieve the Chew because his position was looking a little tenuous.
That's terrific, isn't it? They do a great job and they're very important to us. We've got to stress that. So it's great to have a new sponsor.
Dennis, it's
what about tonight's game?
Hang on, Dan. Don't worry about the game.
One more, Dennis. It's Greg Williams. Sorry, I've got to... Look,
yeah,
Dennis,
Greg,
I practiced all the time. I practiced more than anyone. Handball.
This better
kicking.
Be a better question than the last.
I was really good at it. Like, I could really make the ball talk, as you know.
Yeah, hell
now, when in the mornings, when you're looking in the mirror, did you actually practice your centimetre perfect? No, seriously.
Greg,
you ever... Dennis, don't bullshit me.
No, Greg.
Tell me you
Greg,
did.
Greg.
Please, say
yeah, the answer
sentiment.
Is yes. The answer
yes.
is yes,
thank
Greg.
You.
But I've got a
thank
question
you.
For you now. How often were you concussed?
Actually, concussions are serious issues, Dennis.
Well, yeah, but we're getting down and dirty now, Greg.
As you know, Dennis, I've been concussed too many times.
Concussed too many times, but hasn't forgotten a single set of stats from any of the games he's played. Actually, any of the good games he's played, he's forgotten a few of the bad ones.
Before we let you go, you'll be calling tonight alongside Lockie and Embers and the Beast and Tanya. Who wins, please?
I think they win easily, the West Coast Eagles. They're getting back to something like their regular formation. I think they'll feel good about themselves coming into tonight. But you never know. I mean, no one expected what Melbourne served up last year. They lost by 66 points and their form was crackerjack coming in. So that was something really hard to digest over here. You couldn't work it out. But I think the Eagles win tonight for sure.
Oh, Dan, sorry. Greg's got another question.
Dennis, it's Greg Williams again.
Greg, I've got Dennis, 1 foot out the door, Greg.
Dennis,
quick.
Before you go, just please say centimetre perfect. I want one of your best ones. Please. No,
okay.
I'm not joking. Please.
Okay, so you're there with headphones on?
Yep.
Okay, get a little closer to the headphones, like you say to a woman on the phone. Get a little closer.
I want your best.
Centimetre perfect. That was it.
Piss weak.
I have a...
That's not your best.
I've got a complex about it because my wife never asked me to say it and she never said it.
Thank you, Dennis. We'll enjoy the call shortly.
Thanks,
we always
Dennis.
Appreciate it.
See
the great Dennis committee.
See you, mate.
You've taken him to town, I reckon, Greg.
No, he deserves it. Diesel, the group that you played with, I think Dennis has left us now, that was very, very funny, are renowned for...
having a good time off the field as well, the Carlton crew. And I understand we're about to go.
No, no, you're right. You got a minute. I've got a minute.
The end of season trips. Is it true that the Carlton group you play, we still have an end of season footy trip, correct?
Golf trip. Every year, yeah. Actually, I'm the chairman of the committee.
Okay.
I am in charge of the golf trip, Das, and I make all the rules and the other blokes just follow.
How many get on the end of season trip?
15 to 12, 18. Yeah, depends where we go.
Hey, Greg, a treat to have you here. Fun. And our good mates at DiBertoli Wines who have been making...
That would be DiBertoli.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, can you read
you're
it?
You're a wine connoisseur.
Go on, there you go. Who is it?
The DiBertoli Wine That's family it. Winemaker since 1928. So the DiBertoli Melbourne Vineyard Yarra Valley Cab Sav. Only the highest quality Cabernet Fruit goes into a handmade super premium red wine. And you've got a couple of bottles there, Howard?
Yes, thank I you. Have for I've been there. Greg.
You've been to DiBertoli, have you?
You know how to say it. Love it. Like I couldn't. Hey,
Howard, I really appreciate it.
You've come in, I think, the open invitation. Whenever he wants to come on the show, I would have thought.
Regular member.
Well done to Greg Williams.
Thanks,
came in and absolutely tore it apart. A fantastic effort.